Lifting a Blue Mood. People in my family, as well as many of my clients, have been burdened by depression, which is painfully common. Many psychological approaches, for example, psychotherapy or books, for dysthymic disorder, chronic blues, and for mild to moderate depression, include the encouragement of a sense of agency rather than entrapment and helplessness, enjoyable and rewarding activities, good times with friends, self-compassion, and replacing catastrophizing or critical thoughts with realistic and supportive ones. Therefore, using the HEAL steps to heighten the impact of these interventions can be helpful, and more generally, can bring more good into your life and into your brain. In general, taking in the good should not be used with severe depression, in which it's very hard, if not impossible, to create a positive experience. Trying to do this yourself or asking others to do so, such as a client if you are a therapist, would only be frustrating or worse. The potential exception involves experiences of simple physical pleasure, such as eating something sweet or warming up when chilled. Even if someone is severely depressed, there will still likely be some basic capacity for at least brief experiences of pleasure. Applied to physical pleasure, the methods for enriching and absorbing experiences in Chapter 7 might help a severely depressed person gradually recover more capacity for enjoyment. Recovering from trauma. Whether it was a car accident, mugging, rape, injury, or childhood abuse, any trauma involves an incapacity to stop a terrible thing from happening. Of course, this incapacity is not the fault of the person experiencing the trauma. Consequently, one aspect of treating and recovering from trauma is to nurture greater capacities, greater strengths, inside that person. In this general way, while working with a therapist or on your own, taking in the good may be useful. For example, a central aspect of trauma is entrapment, immobilization, and helplessness. The person cannot escape the awfulness. So it might help to take in experiences of agency in Chapter 10, of being able, if only inside the mind, to make something happen. Another common feature of trauma is being intimidated from communicating fully and firmly. So taking in experiences of assertiveness in Chapter 10 could be useful. But be careful. Simply knowing that a positive experience is an intended resource for dealing with the trauma can remind a person of the trauma and then reactivate it. First of all, do no harm. Trauma is like a black hole that can suck you in if you are not careful, and getting sucked in, re-experiencing the trauma, can be a re-traumatization. Since the fourth step of taking in the good brings negative material into awareness, I recommend not using this step on your own with the central experiences of the trauma itself, though it could be beneficial to use it with a skilled therapist. Many therapies for trauma link positive and negative material. But you might be able to use the fourth step by yourself with issues around the edges, as it were, of the trauma. For example, a person could take in self-compassion, in Chapter 10, linked to the pain of being let down by failed protectors, such as caregivers who did not pick up on the signs of child abuse and stop it. For more about treating and recovering from trauma, see the work of Judith Herman, Peter Levine, Pat Ogden, and Bessel van der Kolk. Feeding relationships. Whether at home or at work or in other settings, a relationship is like a tapestry. The busyness and inevitable aggravations of daily life continually tear at its threads. If both people don't keep registering good experiences in the relationship, its fabric will fray and may eventually tear apart. I don't mean ignoring real problems, but rather also paying attention to the good qualities in the other person, to what there is to like, and to the being behind his or her eyes. The seemingly little things are often the most touching, as this woman writes. Each morning I take a moment to feel grateful for my husband. I remember things I appreciate about him, like how he decorates a salad with little pepper rings and carrot curls. He isn't a cook, but he so wants to do something to please me. I smile and take in the feeling of a husband who loves me. When my mind goes to the annoyances, like how he doesn't put his dirty clothes in the hamper but has to put them on the floor next to it, I soon come back to how it feels when he does want to please. This little practice of appreciating my husband has truly changed my life and my marriage. Appreciating the good aspects of a relationship will feed your heart, help you feel good, and put hassles and irritations in perspective. Plus, the other person will probably treat you better, since he or she will feel more seen and appreciated. If you do need to mend a relationship, it's especially important to take in positive experiences that happen in it. Otherwise, staying fixated on the bad parts of a relationship and overlooking or minimizing the good ones feels bad for you. Plus, it is disheartening to the other person and doesn't encourage continued efforts in a positive direction. And if you like, you could ask the other person to be more aware of positive experiences with you and more open to letting them in.